Welcome to the ASAP Weekly Rocket League podcast, a show hosted by LeZero, the man of a thousand rants, and Wabbit, the fan favorite. This show details the latest news in the Rocket League scene, esports results, and tips and tricks on how to get better at the game, while sometimes they'll just take a random topic and see where it takes them. Thank you all for listening, and enjoy.
And hello, welcome back to the ASAP Weekly Rocket League Podcast. I'm your host, LeZero, and I'm joined by Cursor. How's it going, Cursor?
Doing well. How about you?
I'm doing right. I guess my question or my curiosity is, how does it feel like? I feel like sometimes I don't ask how someone's doing before the show, but like for some reason I was consciously aware that I asked before the show. It feels like just ask both the questions like one after the other now. But here we are. I hope you are doing well. I hope you are relaxed. We're gonna get into things here. We have a whole lot of things to go over, mostly land major results, and we get to make fun of Messi a little bit, not totally. He did get some part of it right, but specifically with the quadrant team. It was a little more kind of over the place, but anyway, let me just go through the announcements here, and they'll go right into the land major. So the first thing here is I'd like to thank our patrons. So Zodiac 22, Too Much Space, Chaos Maker, Space Bear, Frank, Flux, Awesomeness, Caleb, Raz, Digital Toast, Paint, Rook, Your Boy Hunty, and Young Slug. Thank you so much for your continued support. Another thing that I'll also like to shout out is we'll have the Christmas special coming up in a week. Usually we'll have like a little bit of a break around the Christmas special, although I think it might be that like the next episode after will be like a week and a half or 2 weeks after. So it'll be like a little bit of a gap there, but it is quite of a hefty thing. It is a monster that I'm slowly feeding and becoming larger and larger. And if you want to add to that, if you want to be part of it, what I am having is there's a Google form for you to send all of your, I mean, either like poetry readings or songs or anything to do with the holiday season. You can send it there, and I'll include it in the show, and I'm going to try to bring it all together, and hopefully it'll be amazing. So make sure you participate. I'm sure Cursor will find his way on that show as well. And a whole notable host of people from the various podcasts and stuff. So I'm excited for that. Also, yeah, let's get into the big thing. What this episode is going to be about is the LAN major results. Yep. Maybe the first thing that we can look at is I feel okay. My question to you is. Is Gen G really a North American org, or is it a European org? You know what I mean? Because I feel like you have two English players. I mean, it's a very, very much an English speaking org, right? But you have a North American roster. Oh, sorry, North American organization, but a roster that is half and half. The main roster is more European, though. So what I'm trying to do here is defend, I guess. Messi's prediction that it would be like very much EU focused, right? A lot of the wins here.
Oh no, don't defend him. He's not here.
So he's not here. Why would I defend him? I mean,
yeah, exactly. Now you can rip. He can't defend himself, so you can just go full send here.
All right. Well, where's Quadrant Cursor? Is the question that everyone might be looking at.
I don't know. Where did they go? I can't find them anywhere on the bracket. I'm not too sure.
I'm not too sure. I don't even see them in the quarterfinal bracket of all the things that are happening here. They lost to Team Liquid. They lost. Who else did they lose to here? They beat KCP. They lost to Team Liquid. And then, trying to skim through here as quickly as possible the results from the previous rounds.
Damn, he's really just going full in.
Yeah, I'm full in. Let's see their journey. Okay,
doesn't even they lost to Team Secret, although just wants to go full in right now.
Yeah. What I will say is, okay, losing to Team Secret, maybe before the tournament, wasn't as big a thing. But considering the results that Team Secret have, that's actually not that bad considering how well they did in this tournament. But yeah, we don't see Quadrant. So Messi's very noble prediction didn't work out. Although Quadrant was on a tear in EU, so it is kind of surprising how they didn't land. I don't know if you're surprised at all by that, but
Not particularly. I was surprised by another team, however. I'm not really. I'm kind of over Quadrant, to be honest.
You're like, I'm happy that they're not in here.
No, I just... Sorry, I thought I was going to sneeze. I muted myself. It might come up. I apologize in advance.
No, it was the perfect mute. It was the perfect mute.
Nothing against the players. It's just like, I feel there's like... They've been playing extremely well. No one can take that from them. But I think there's just... Our the community, like as far as RL Esports is concerned, has become very much a bandwagon yes man community. Where like if one team starts popping off for a little bit, they're just like yeah, nod, for sure, best team. It's like okay, like nobody wants to have like an original opinion about it. They just want to talk about the recent success of certain teams, and it's like it gets tiring sometimes, honestly, because there's still all these super goated players and teams out there that maybe they just weren't performing well for a little bit, but you can't count them out just because this team's popping off at the moment, you know?
Was it you or Wabs that said the Team Secret would do well? Speaking of original picks, I guess.
That was Messi and myself. We had a feeling they would do pretty well. They've been looking pretty good. I've been creeping over to the Sam streams from time to time.
And you've been talking about that actually in the last couple episodes too, right?
Like sneaking around.
Yeah.
I'm like sneaking around, like watching regions and players when I have time outside of like the apprenticeship program and work. And there's actually like quite a bit going on in the Rocket League scene right now. I'm sure quite possibly that Messi or Mr. Tass Wagleys could speak to that in more detail, but just from what I'm noticing, there's a lot of new up and coming mobile players like early this season that probably aren't getting a lot of recognition, mostly because the focus is just really on the first major of the season and how teams are looking going into the first real big event, right? So, but I think Team Secret still has secrets, you know. And they kind of proved that at the major. Like they've been clearly training pretty hard and doing quite well in scrims and kind of translating it. Or rather, I could probably be corrected there. I think they've been doing all right in scrims, but it seems that what experience they're gaining from them is translating well into LAN play. So
we actually had a discussion about scrims in our Discord for a little bit, right? I'm pretty sure Prof and I think Flux and a couple other people were talking about. Are these actual results, but then like do they matter, you know? That's another big thing that they were talking about. It's like yes and no is the answer. It's clearly yes, it matters. I mean, it's a good thing if you're winning in a lot of these scrims, but I imagine there's some teams that are trying new things out or specifically focusing on certain things, right?
It's true.
So I think I don't know if this was like way back we had Flashes of Brilliance right on. But I remember us having a conversation about how, like, when we had so many tournaments every week, usually in like preparation for a major, like a team will kind of be focusing on certain things, and so you'll only get like that finished result of the major, right? It'll kind of lead up to the major or to the bigger tournaments at least. But with how frequently they were doing tournaments, you'd have teams that are like do really poorly one week. It's because literally that week they were trying to like reevaluate something in the way they were playing, right? Or try to fill some gaps or try to tweak something a little bit, and it wasn't quite there yet. And I think that's actually really interesting in this case. And a part of it, I think, you know, I think Team Secret playing in their own region and showing these results probably cements the fact that I imagine the players in Team Secret won't be moving. I mean, obviously money offers and all that, right? But
sure.
I think it's one of those things where it's like, no, you can stay in your region and just bring your region up. Like this, I think this is a great result. And Sam has kind of had a history of great esports like involvement.
True.
And I think what is the best thing is that like it's a giant, like there's a lot of giant esports scenes there, but in like countries like for us in Canada, US, or sometimes in, you know, Western Europe or whatever, you won't necessarily talk about them as much, right? But the scenes in the country themselves, it's like, oh, this player, like, for instance, like, you know, some random player is streaming, and it's like, wow, the numbers are blowing, or like some random tournament, right, is happening, Sam, and the numbers are blowing some of these other numbers out of the water, right? So I just think it's great, because maybe we can have Rocket League get onto that giant scene and kind of expand, which I think would be great.
I think it's cool you mentioned that. I think part of that reason where it's kind of like Sam being kind of overlooked for some of that is just, there's just this, there is a oversaturation of competitive sport or competitive games in general in America that get quite, or, you know, I should just say like the United States, Canada, like North America, they get quite a bit of the spotlight to include like even international titles, right? Like CSGO, League of Legends, things like that. Where like, you know, we also have Apex and Call of Duty and Rocket League and like just so many esports like scenes to be a part of. And I feel like because I'm going to go out on a limb and say like the majority of the competitive base is more than likely here where the games are developed, because it's more readily accessible, depending upon whether or not games open themselves up and, you know, put the finances into global infrastructure to support worldwide servers. It's like, it's kind of, this is like where the home is for them. So I think this is kind of a generalization, but they tend to, you know, excel in the things they're really, really, really good at. Like, I think FIFA's a big one over there. I'm not mistaken. Mm. I believe they also had quite a bit of a showing in CSGO for some years. I think
it's kind of fallen by the wayside. They've had a couple teams.
Yeah. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, I think at one point they also had a pretty good StarCraft team, too.
Specifically, there's one player who still, I believe, still lives in Korea, right? But they've had, like, I would say, he was the non-Korean player that like fit in, just like moved to Korea and just like just hung out with all the people in Korea, and he was definitely one of those like top 16 finishers in like every tournament ever. And like in Rocket League, that might not seem like as big a deal, I guess, a top 16, but like in StarCraft, that's wild. Especially in those hardest tournaments.
Player.
So you have so many more players you're playing against, right?
It would be a rarity to see like a 2v2 game or anything like that, because it's the game itself is meant to be played one-on-one. So
in general, it's great that we're kind of getting some of those other scenes participating, and it'd be nice to knock EU and NA down a notch, you know, always totally. Thinking the competition is between themselves, you know.
True. That's so full of ourselves we are.
Well, I mean, that's why I liked when SA kind of went up, right? We had the was it the Falcons? Was that the first team that Ocalid was on originally? I liked when that kind of came up, because it was a nice change of pace, and like, oh no, there's like this wild, you know, level of skill here that now we have to face.
SA, you mean Mina?
I meant Mina, yeah.
Yeah,
but I
got confused for that. I was like, Saudi
Arabia, right?
Yeah. Been watching too much World Cup, man.
I've been. They beat Argentina, right?
Oh no.
But I mean, Argentina. No, they were the ones who had that big upset at the beginning of the World Cup against Argentina, and then since then, Argentina's done really well. Anyway, that's a side by for if I talk to Messi.
I was about to say that he's going to be even more disappointed if that happened and his team didn't win the major. Oof.
Oof. I'd like to actually also talk about Moist. I'm really happy that I put them into my top 8. I think I did at the last point. And to me, it was always that feeling of like, okay, well, it is, you know, it is Astral. It is, you know, it is these players that I feel like have a little more experience. Joyo's a little younger. I think Joyo
But yeah, it's still equally as mechanically gifted, if not more.
Yeah, exactly. So it's one of those things where it's like, okay, Astral has experience. Astral's now the experienced one, right? Is that wild? This seems wild. Seriously. Like, I feel like I like look away for six. Well, not look away, but you know what I mean? I'm not like paying as much attention to like these constant like scene switches. And then it's like, oh, 6 months later. Oh, okay. Wow. Astral, you're no longer the rookie. You're now the veteran who's played in all these lands and has competition experience and stuff. But yeah, no, I thought this was a great result for them. When I was watching the finals against Gen G, they didn't look too sharp. Like there was something that felt a little bit off from them. I don't know if you felt that at all.
For Moist, I wouldn't say so. Fairly evenly matched, to be honest.
Maybe it was one of the OTs where there was like, I believe it was the second game. It was the second or third game. No, I think it was the third game, the DFH Stadium, where like it felt like a really poor way to concede a kickoff goal. Like it just felt like the completely wrong rotation. And I saw that and I was like, ooh, that doesn't seem quite right. But I guess you're right. Like I'm looking at some of these results, and like maybe when I was watching the games, it felt like Gen G had a lot more pressure than necessarily the goal difference, if that makes sense. Like it felt like they were more in control, but they didn't necessarily score so much more that like it didn't feel like it was oppressive in that sense.
No, at some points it was really Moist game to lose. They kind of had Gen G kind of tucked away there for a while in the series. Mm-hmm. Gen G did a really, really good job of kind of bouncing back mentally and kind of focusing more on just doing what they could and trying to not, you know, overextend their reach and do too much. You could see, oh God, what was it? It was game 3 or 4, I think. I believe Moist was up 2-1, and they came back to tie it like 2-2, if I'm not mistaken. And you could kind of see like they were starting to slowly come back. They were looking for holes in Moist's immaculate defense, and they were starting to play better as a team. So, but it was definitely, they were proceeding with caution, because for sure, the Moist was popping off on the day, for sure. Like, you could tell that it's really only a matter of time. This team is developing the cohesion a lot faster than I think most people expected. And it's kind of showing right now. And now you have an absolute enabler of Ryze and two super mechanical players. Like, the ceiling for this team is going to be ridiculous once they get in better form. I believe they can. I don't think that's their ceiling. I don't even think that's kind of like their, I don't even think we honestly saw their average floor play there in the major. I think we still have a lot more to see from that team. I'm kind of looking forward to seeing them the rest of the season.
So what I'm hearing is you're saying Joyo's the new best mechanical player in the Rocket League scene.
I don't know if it's a new thing, because he kind of proved himself last year.
No. I'm just making that joke. Oh, you hate that line when we dub someone the new, like, seriously, you know, you're the
best player in the world, bar none. It's, oh my gosh, relax with that stuff. Have a unique opinion that's not just jumping on the bandwagon. Like there was actually quite a lot that was going on. Like, Joryu's at, what was it? The connection between Joryu's and I want to say it was Oli at the time. Mm-hmm. Oli was popping up from Team Oxygen. Like there was a lot of standout players during the major for sure, to include Vatira as well, Astral as well, for honorable mention. Like there's
Oxygen is such a sick team. Like, sorry, like I'm just, yeah, these, no, player, for sure. Like, man, there's so many dream teams. Like it feels now, you know what I mean. Yeah. All these like super rookies that are just joining together now, and we can talk to that, because like Oxygen Esports against FaZe Clan and Gen G versus Team Liquid were some of the, you know, closest series here that we had going to game sevens. I need to say my apologies to Team Liquid.
I do as well.
I did put them out of my top 8, I believe.
Yeah, same.
I didn't rate them, and you know it's kind of hard, because once again, Gen G is just on a little bit on a tear right now. And I remember we talked about how Gen G was a team that, like, oh, like the first tournament result we saw, we're like, oh, that wasn't that good, right? But then they've just absolutely destroyed every other tournament after, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it was because they literally lost to whatever the team that was the hottest of that tournament. So it's like, oh no, like this is now your team to beat, I feel. And I feel like this will be the team to beat going forward. We'll see if they have the results in NA, but they're definitely out here for blood, I guess. V1 make it quarters, I'm quite happy with. FaZe Clan getting a semifinal spot.
You mean Fourth Clan?
Fourth Clan is they're the Croatia of Rocket League, okay? they're going to be somewhere in that top mix, but you don't necessarily put them winning. But that is a success in itself to like so consistently be in that top mix. But at some point, you don't want to be the second place team, you know? Like, remember when NRG was just always second? Like, there was a while where, like, they would always come so close. You'd be like, oh, second, third. They'd win a couple tournaments, but it was like, oh, they're never, like, the super big one. So,
yeah.
You know who they remind... Actually, I mean, I was going to say, you know who they remind me of? But then I'm like, well, I mean, this G2? Is the first killer team. No, I was going to say Rogue, and I'm like, wait, no, first killer's on this team.
Yeah, or he was. Yeah, that's for sure. I don't know. There's too much reliance on him. He's so good on his own. He really, I don't know. I feel like he needs
You don't think Sipico and Mist are the right?
No. I'm not saying.
But they need to step up, maybe. Or
I think. I think. It's hard to explain, right? This is just objectively speaking, right? Just things I'm observing, and I'm definitely not a good player by any means. I'm garbage GC2 player. What do I know? But
GC1 players.
I'm more garbage than a GC1 player because I'm GC2. I'm extra garbage. Yeah.
You have a garbage badge, so you're allowed to talk about a little bit more than the G1 garbage.
Precisely. So wait, G1, man, I wish I was G1 again. But simpler times, man, simpler times. But he's such a hyper carry player. Like it's got to be difficult to kind of maintain that kind of like a style or a speed or something with him, considering he can kind of maneuver and do pretty much whatever he wants whenever he wants on the pitch within reason most of the time, if not almost all of the time, because he's just so wildly consistent. It's pretty rare to see him out of form, I would say. And that being said, it's like, now you like, how do you match that energy? Like, do you try and give him an enabler and a solid like goalie, or like, which I think is what they were trying to go for this time with this roster, but they're still yielding the same results. And I hate to say it, but maybe there's like a personality thing we don't know about that seems to be the topic of discussion and why it gets memed all the time. So, like, he's always there for when they want to like kick somebody and find someone new, but like, maybe even though he's so good, he's actually the issue, and like how he works with his teammates. Like, I don't know. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not sitting here throwing shade. It's just like, they keep changing all players except him and the same results keep happening. So I don't, that kind of seems like the definition of insanity of like doing the same thing over and over.
Well, right? do you want the person results? Who's going to give you results, even if they're not like the top results, right? Like, that's, I guess it's ambition, right? And FaZe.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I think they definitely want to build a team around him for sure, which Rogue tried to do for a very, very long time. But it's just like, how do you make that sandwich? How do you cook that dish? Like, what are the ingredients for that? Like, you already have first killer, but like, maybe, you know, maybe you're trying to mix like peanut butter with shrimp instead of jelly. Like, it's just not working, you know. Like, you gotta find something else, you know. So I'm not saying that they need a roster change, but they need to do something. I'm confused that they've had all these star-studded players on the roster for a couple seasons now, and they can't seem to eke out the dub. You know what I mean? Like,
they should be winning more considering their level, I guess.
Is the point. Like, their floor and their ceiling. They're all insanely talented players, all three of them, right? We've watched Sipico come up. We watched First Killer come up, right? We watched Mist come up, right, with the what was previously the Pittsburgh Knights with Reddles, Mist, and Gyro. Like we watched these guys come up, and they've established themselves in the scene now. They're no longer rookies, just like you were saying with Astral. And it's like even though they have established themselves, something still isn't quite working with this roster. What it is, I don't know. I don't know if maybe like maybe they're lacking a like a like a mental sports consultant, and maybe, you know, maybe Rold is just trying to fill that role of like, you know, strategist, hype man, and like confidant, you know, which can be a lot for one person for sure. I mean, don't get me wrong, Rold, of all people to do it, it would be Rold. Rold is such an awesome person and a great player, and like everything you hear about him seems to be pretty spot on. He's really, really chill at LAN. Like, but I don't know what it is. There's some kind of missing ingredient there, you know.
Do you think, and like I think we've definitely talked about this before, but like I think when you only have one player that you kind of see as the hyper carry, when that player has a game off, it kind of destroys your whole game plan.
Right. You know what I mean?
You know what I mean? Like
now it's added pressure put onto the rest of your roster.
Yeah. And I think a lot of these teams, what you'll see is if one player isn't playing like that hyper carry or isn't able to do it, another player will step up and take that role. Mm-hmm. Like, In a Moist, it might be Astro or Joyo, right? Given like the role, and maybe Ryze more of an enabler, or then maybe, you know, I'd have to watch them a little more to kind of get that. But I'm curious if that's one of those things where it's like so much focus is put on this one player, and then because you force the other two players to play a certain style to enable this player, when that doesn't work out, it kind of makes it really hard, right?
Yeah. I agree with you. I think it might be a style thing. It's kind of like my sneaking suspicion, because to your point, if you look at teams like Moist that have kept their Joyo and Ryze part of the roster, they're still playing their style and it still works, and they still have clutch factor even whilst changing a very integral third member of their team. You know, it very much could be a style thing. Like, they tend to be a very, very aggressive team for sure. And then we've seen them in times where they, you know, have tried to adapt to other teams who understand that they like to play aggressive and will wait for them. So in turn, they will sort of, how do I put it? They will feed the suspicion that like, oh, we're going to play fast this time around and get the other team thinking that way. And when the other team starts to play to that pace, they just slow down and wait for the ball. Because they're all mechanically gifted and very good at the game, position-wise, like game sense-wise, knowledge-wise. So at any given point, like they could easily turn a counterattack in a matter of seconds. But to what end? I'm not entirely sure whether or not they're already... I'm sure they probably are trying out different style options, but I think this goes back to your conversation of the mentality of young adults and kids who tend to have a hard time adapting to things and change. And maybe this is one of those, this could be one of those things, you know, this could be like, no, this is going to work. We're going to make it work. We're going to find a way, as opposed to potentially trying alternate options. But I don't know for sure. It's really hard to say.
Do you think there's anything to like performance, like specific performance base? I'm at a LAN and it has very little actually to do with strategy, a lot more to do with handling pressure. I mean, I'm curious if that's a thing where maybe, you know, we joke about fourth clan or whatever, but like when that's seeped into your mind and you're in a semis
and you're, you know, also I wonder representing if that's a that... super tier one org with a lot of pressure on your shoulders.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm sure.
Yeah. That could be a thing.
That's kind of what I was alluding to with like, you know, maybe they don't have like a solid mental consultant or, you know, sports psychiatrist or what have you, like on the team to kind of help bolster their resiliency from match to match, series to series, right? And I think they could be a team that could benefit from it. I don't know most of these players personally, but you hear open admittance from players about like oversleeping and missing matches for scrims, or, you know, having parts of their lives that aren't like really fully together. And it's things like that that can lead to poor, like lackluster performances. Like, you really got to nail down a routine. You got to get good sleep. You got to be eating well. Like, we've talked about this at length with Prof as well. Shout outs to Prof. Like, this is something that most people that age don't take seriously enough. Like, oh no, it's fine. I'm just so good. I'll just wake up and everything's gonna be fine. It's like, no, you come to learn in your young adulthood, especially into college, people in their 20s, going into their early 30s, like prep work is huge because it reduces the strain on you and how much you actually need to do when the time does come to perform, because you set yourself up for success to have an easier time. So it's a very integral part of competition that I don't think the Rocket League scene takes seriously enough. They are like you have seen, you know, like sort of an explosion of like newer and older coaches coming up to the forefront to try and help guide these players in the right direction, as well as the mental aspect, and people like Prof coming up and representing orgs and really help solidifying these rosters and giving them the skills they need in order to compete at the highest level when they need to. But kind of like FaZe's Clan's like inability to catch a dub, it seems like Rocket League is still kind of struggling with that as a whole in the pro scene. At least that's what it looks like from a spectator's perspective. I hope we come to sort of figure that issue out sooner than later, and I think we will. I mean, we're still getting huge sponsorship, but again, that plays into exactly what you're saying. Like, maybe that puts a lot of pressure, unnecessary pressure, on these players, right? Like Gen G, look at Gen G. Like, they're going to, it's kind of, use this as a segue to your other point. Like, are they an NA or EU team? But like, you know, they're sponsored by Mobile One. That's like the gas giant of the world. Like, one of the biggest gas companies in the world is sponsoring this little Rocket League team. And it's not the first time Mobile's been involved in Rocket League, but I believe it's the first time they've sponsored a specific team as opposed to the scene as a whole, which when you have to appease sponsors that big, I'm sure, like, I don't know for sure, but my opinion is that there's probably quite a bit of contractual obligations that need to be met that might also put them under a lot of pressure, right? Like, we look at the Dignitas roster, I believe it is, the Vitality roster with the, depending on how you guys perform this season, the lowest performing player is going to get dropped, so Exotic can come in. Zen. The absolute prodigy at a EU right now, who was like, he's like the equivalent of what Daniel was coming up in NA. I don't know how well these players are handling that kind of pressure to perform for their salary, essentially.
And maybe
those sponsors pay their dues, you know what I mean? Like,
and Rocket League's so much more cutthroat sometimes than even like professional leagues, who have, at least have like professional, like a team union or player union or something like equivalent of that, right? Like, right. At least representation, where it's just like, not like, if you're not performing well, there's, you know, five other prodigies that are up and coming, right, that will take probably a paycheck, like, cut, you know what I mean, to what you're making, and we'll throw them on and we'll probably
paycheck cut. They've probably never been paid.
Yeah, you know, like, I can get paid $50. You're gonna give me a gift card? Yeah.
Heck yes, I can buy a new controller. Let's go.
You just give me a controller. You're giving me a T-shirt. Oh, anyway, there you go. I think, actually, this will be fun, because, like, speaking of that, like, we have a trade window usually opens up in January, right?
Yeah, right after the major one.
And it's always a fun one they do. It feels like the biggest one for us. It's like, okay, you tested out this new team in this new season after the first major. Let's see if we go wild, you know? Let's see if we get Transfer Mania. Let's compare. I want to compare the AI power rankings kind of from last week they were talking about with the actual results, and see how well the AI predicted. Now, you're gonna tell me which one we're gonna do. So we can either use the power rankings that they have here, where they have a top eight, but they also have a list at the bottom for the AI simulated major for a top eight. So like, of what they predicted would be in the top eight, and I don't know if it's 1-to-1 with what we have in the power rankings. That's what I'm curious about.
Yeah, if I'm not mistaken, I believe the power rankings were strictly based off the stats that currently exist, right? And then I don't know exactly how the top eight was calculated. I know we went over it a bit with Webs, but it seems to be,
you know what, let's just compare it. I will let the math wizards look at the top, like, how they found it, but we're just going to compare their like very nice chart. Okay, we're going to compare their nice infographic here.
Nice graphic, with, guys.
Yeah, nice graphic. It's, listen, as long as it's not a Swiss bracket explainer.
Seriously.
The Rock League put out. Anyway. I just remember once like going back to that episode and laughing my head off about how mad I was at the Swiss bracket and how it looked. I'm like, just say bad. It's a Swiss bracket. It would explain it better than 40 different rectangles. Anyway.
True.
Okay, so their AI power rankings was Face Clan, G2, Karmin, Space Station, Genji, Version 1, Oxygen, and Team Liquid. And the actual results was, well, the winners, of course, were Gen G. Then we had Moist coming in second.
Yep.
Then we had Team Secret and FaZe coming in third, fourth. Mm-hmm. Karmin Corp in quarters, V1 in quarters, Oxygen in quarters, and Team Liquid in quarters. So I think apart from... So what I'm seeing here, apart from so G2 didn't, okay, so they were wrong about G2 here on this one.
Unfortunately.
They were wrong about Team Secret, definitely. Like, I think they threw Team Secret like 15th.
Yeah.
And this is, I think this is one of those things where the AI is also looking at the competition they face, right? So, and that's what happens when you have like a secluded region coming to the, you know, against everyone else, like they, anyway, they can overperform or that region is now way better. We don't know.
Could be.
Then, so there's two off there, but apart from that, yeah, G2, Space Station, is that the only things wrong? I believe so.
That's what it sounds like.
Replace them with Oxygen and Team Secret.
Yeah, it sounds like.
No, Team Secret and, oh, what's the other one that it replaced? What's the other one? There should be two, right?
Maybe.
Maybe.
Hold on.
Oh, Moist. They were wrong about Moist. Yeah. Sorry. So they're wrong about Moist, and they're wrong. But at least like Moist, I think they had in like 10th. So they, it was relatively close to Team Liquid. So I mean, they didn't see Moist doing as well, but still. So, I mean, 6 out of 8, that's not bad. Like if I were making best, you know, on each of these, like making top 8, you would have been 6 out of 8. That wouldn't have been bad at all.
Right. It also leads me to believe that maybe AI can do more than just, you know, draw pictures. Maybe they're actually like really smart and we should watch out because the world's going to end. Robots.
No, it's the programmers behind it. Okay, they have to force it the right proper amount of learning so that it's actually good, and they actually have to be good at what they're doing. But I think it's really cool that how well it did. I mean, this is one of those things though. It's like even with these predictabilities, obviously on the day, on whatever, whether they what they ate in the morning, how much they slept, could affect all these results, right? So I think that's why, like, no matter how good your predictions are. Over time, it gets harder and harder, right?
True.
Like, for instance, like, let's just say we make it even smaller, right? I said the top 8 there. Top 4, right? Take the top 4. They had FaZe Clan, G2, Karmin, Korra, and Space Station. Mm. And the actual results, it was 2 out of 4, you know? So,
true.
How well it did with the top 4 was a lot worse. And then it did not predict the finalists, for sure.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Yeah, but I mean, it's pretty cool. It's a pretty cool gauge. I mean, I like this just for like someone, especially someone who maybe wants to get back into the esports scene, right?
Mm.
Just getting a gauge of where teams are at, like a general idea of where teams are at, and then because then you know if this is an underdog matchup or if this is like, oh, this team's favored to this team, right? Although the casters probably do that.
I feel like there's a bit of bias in there, though. You know what I mean? So, again, that plays into the whole, well, the caster said it must be true. You know what I mean? And what do they constantly say? Oh, he's insane. Best player in the world. Stop it. You stop that right now.
Stop it. Okay. Yeah, I thought it was a great major. It was quick. I mean, all these EU for us, all the EU majors, they happen quick in the morning. Like, you're...
I'm sorry. I'm going to interrupt you here. Are we going to ignore the fact that James Cheese actually played out of their minds and looked fantastic as a new squad? Like the Realize squad? Are we going to completely ignore this? Like, yeah, like granted, they didn't go where they probably wanted to go, but comparatively to the old roster last year, they looked like leagues better. Like, sure, they were missing some follow-up touches and maybe... a couple of whiffs here and there and missed connections and timing on team plays, but They've come a long way, man. They have really come a long way.
No, no, no. Okay, I'm being facetious. Okay, James Cheese. I was very who. Was it you or Robs who had the pick of James Cheese winning?
That was me. That was absolutely me. I full thought, faith in James
heart
Cheese
on that one. Yep. You went with your heart.
Yep, I trust my heart. It's never.
But you know what? You know what? I think it's no. I mean, and I've said this for a while. Especially when it comes to specifically Realize. I think we saw ever since the first slam Realize attended that BDS land where we had the NA and EU haven't touched for a year land, right? And that was, but I also remember that being the land that Realize was there for the first time.
Right.
I felt since there he's getting a lot more experience with these tournaments, international tournaments, and I think this is one of those things, right, where we had a Team Secret where you had an org that's playing in their own region and then they come over, right, doing extremely well. But I think the reality is because Team Secret's so good and because I'm sure they're scrimming with all the other SAM teams as a whole, everyone there is really, really good at this point. Like, I think that scene's probably matured a lot more than we're giving it credit for. And I think with OCE, especially with the recent retirements and stuff like that, right? I mean, I guess if Power and if some other teams, but like Pioneers and James Cheese, I think those scenes, you need all, like, let's just say the top three, top four teams, all the teams in general getting better, right? So then when you go into these international tournaments, you're actually playing against that level of competition.
Yep.
And so, I mean, and then once again, like, this, we'll call it the Asia and Friends who moved to Asia region. It's one of those things where I think it's still really early. And I think a lot of these teams just established themselves, but now they actually have to rise to the occasion of all of them becoming better in order so they can start competing again.
To be honest with you, like, I think it's there. I watched their series and it really just looks like it's very, very small fixable things, like some missed follow touches, a couple of whiffs here and there, or follow-up touches, a couple of whiffs here and there. And to be honest with you, because most people don't know, Virtuoso was actually like the first player to really implement demo meta in Rocket League years ago. So Rettles was not the first, and it was not the peeps.
They just perfected it.
And for a brief moment, there, I'm going to forget which series here. It's going to destroy me. Give me a second to Liquipedia that to check myself. Tournaments. Nope, not tournaments. Rocket League. Things. Where are go? Where do? What happened? Where to go? What happened? Which split? Blaza, blaza. Where to go? I can't find it. Anyways, they had a series where Virtuoso started going for demos, and you could see so much more offensive opportunities and openings were generated on the field, but they weren't capitalized on because maybe two players rotated back, or another player got demoed, and third was nowhere to be found. And it's just small little, I think, bits of miscommunication. Like, really, I believe this is like it's just small fixes for them. Like, if Virtuoso goes back to his old style and does what made Rettles famous, right, and plays that role, I think that opens up the door for Kami to support Realize and his filthy mechanics, and Realize himself could be the quote like first killer of his team because he's so mechanically consistent. He could just put ball in net all the time if he had the opportunity, if he had a little bit maybe of the defense demoed, or like getting slung the ball from an angle that maybe they weren't expecting. Like there is the formula there for a winning team. They just need a little bit more. Honestly, they looked really, really good.
Okay,
my hat's off.
I'm excited. I mean, this is a team I'm going to cheer for anyway. It's still one of my favorite teams to cheer for. So we're hoping that this will be maybe Virtuoso starts demoing a little more and we'll get there.
Also kind of sad that the Power kind of just got kicked to the curb. They were looking really strong going in, and they just couldn't carry the momentum, unfortunately. And honestly, Liquid surprised the heck out of me. I know we apologized, but I have to round back to this very briefly. Like, Liquid surprised the absolute heck out of me with some of the baseline mechanical plays they were going for, right? They weren't doing anything overly flashy. They were just being extremely consistent with their touches and just playing around people. It was very, very impressive to watch. Thus, I mean, further proving you don't need mechs to win Rocket League. You really don't.
And so, it helps. I mean, that is, I mean, at the highest level, I mean, if the other team's doing their job, they shouldn't let you do a lot of mechs, right?
Correct. So what do you have to rely on? Foundational skills.
Exactly. Exactly. Okay. I think with that, we'll move on from the sermon, but I think it was a nice one here. I think really, once again, January always resets and we have a lot more kind of picking up, you know, with the trades, and then, you know, it hypes up again. So I'm excited that.
True.
Let's talk a little bit about Frosty Fest, which was
Frosty Fest.
Frosty Fest. Yeah, you heard about Frosty Fest?
Frosty Fest. It's quite frigid, from what I gather.
Wow. I like how frigid is actually even more of a double entendre than you might initially, because it's a fridge. And anyway. Amazing. Well, if you like your hot cocoa, you can get the wow, it's called the Lo-Fi Girl Coca Topper.
Well, so okay.
What if I like some coca?
Do you know who Lo-Fi Girl is?
Oh, is that the actual? Oh, it's literally. Sorry, now that I see the I've seen this particular. So when I go to Lo-Fi Player Banner, I know exactly who this is.
Okay, yeah, amazing. That channel's been around for some time. It's actually really, really cool that that the channel's getting featured in Rocket League, because honestly, if you're a long-term or like a long-standing Rocket League player and fan, you know, like, Rocket League and Lo-Fi kind of go together, like peanut butters and bananas, or peanut butter and jelly, or whatever your little combo is that you like, chocolate
or not
and milk.
Peanut butter if you're allergic to peanut butter.
Yeah, or like mac and cheese, you know what I mean?
Or like just bread if you're not, anyway.
Weird.
Bread and jam.
Pancakes and syrup. There you go.
Maple syrup.
For you weird old heads, maybe like a cantaloupe and some cottage cheese. Cottage cheese is gross. You can't convince me otherwise. But
there you go.
Honestly, it's really cool to see. I like that they're, again, we hit on this topic before. They're kind of just throwing stuff on the wall, seeing what sticks. They're introducing new channels, new ideas, bringing things in instead of just giving us the traditional, hey, you can collect these wintry Christmas themed items for like 2 weeks and, you know, snow mode, hooray. Which I haven't played the new mode yet, but I like seeing this, them incorporating the community into the game more and more and more. I think it's kind of a nod to like, we see you, we hear you, like we want to do more with you and include you more. To me, this is a bit of a stretch, but it's a foreshadow to eventually creative modes coming. I don't think it's not never gonna come. It's just gonna take time.
Yeah, I love how they finally had the hockey map. Yeah, they're combining the hockey map with the hockey book.
Seriously, right?
Anyway, yeah, this will be fun. Anyway, it's nice that, okay, like, this is the thing. I've been part of communities where they don't do this stuff, right? This is like the basics, I feel, for any community that's still trying to be like that has a developer that is still actively making sure that your esport is growing or your game is growing. Is stuff like this, right? Where like at minimum you should have events based on the season. Like, I feel it's very much the minimum in any kind of, you know, upper echelon game. So I'm happy they continue doing it, and this is what they came out with currently. And I believe, like, literally this is like not so long after the fire and ice, you know, whole theme, the strategic theme that we talked about. I think we literally talked about it last week. So it's a nice kind of double whammy here with the opening of season 9.
Side note too. For those of you who don't know, there is a Rocket League Twitch streamer / now new YouTube content creator by the name of Chief Beef, _RL. Really, really chill, positive individual who, if you want to see more about this Frosty Fest bit, I think he's having a partnered stream with Lo-Fi Girl this Sunday on the 18th. And I think he usually starts streaming at like 6 p.m. Eastern. If you're kind of interested in seeing more about like what the content is in game, I think they're going to be showcasing it quite a bit.
Amazing. That's good. I mean, I feel like almost they should have those streams like pop up. I don't know if like in game, but like I wonder if like YouTube videos like that just like throwing in like some of the explanation as to what you're doing with the new thing when you open the game, not just like reading, just literally like showing little videos like that, just being like, oh, this is what you have, this is what you can do.
Yeah, like the little trailers and whatnot.
Yeah, yeah. But like having in game, as soon as you log on, you can't do anything else. You have to like at least watch 30 seconds of something, you know. I think stuff like that's good.
I kind of agree and disagree. Okay.
There's an X button. There's a giant X button you can click if you have to click, but at least it like starts and hopefully it's good.
Okay. That covers it. That's all I needed to like, at least like, cause that's one thing every gamer hates is a lack of options. Like at least give me the option to skip it. So I'm not forced to watch it.
Every time you log into a new account, I don't know why, but now I need to click the X button.
And now I need to press A to jump at the ball, and B is the boost button, circle respectively, for your PlayStation controller players. And I don't know what it is on keyboard. Sorry, guys.
Whatever it is, it's probably space bar for jump, all right?
Probably, honestly.
But there you go. No, but it's cool that they're doing this. And yes, it'd be nice if they advertise these things. It needs to be in your face, but also exitable.
you have to
be able to escape and run away from it. Speaking of escape and running away from, there's some new cabined accounts that all the teenagers and pre-teenagers will be very mad at. What these are essentially, like from the gist of what I read about these, it's essentially like parental controls before parental controls, if that makes sense. Yep. Which is actually a great idea.
Yep.
All right, and all the 13-year-olds, they're like, oh, I want to be edgy, and I want to be, like, you know, hearing all the terrible things humans are going to say at you on the internet. I'm like, enjoy your innocence, okay? All right, this is for your own good. Yep. But what I would say is, essentially what it does is it, like, prevents certain features, like, especially chat-related features that you can't have access to. And then if you do have your parents come in, they can change it a little bit if they want to give you, you know, some more features. But it essentially lets you play... Or it's probably even better for the parents who just want to leave this game with like a 7-year-old and not have to worry about anything. They can just let the kid play online against random people or you know, random game modes and not have to worry about that stuff.
Right, exactly.
So, I think it's actually a really smart thing, I'm going to be honest. Especially, I like that Rocket League's doing it for a game that has so much of the younger audience to make sure that you're doing that.
On the straight and narrow. To be honest with you, I'm kind of curious to hear some of our listeners' parents, like who are parents, like their thoughts on things, like Frank or Tim and people like that, to get sort of how they feel about it, to get sort of community feedback on what's to come. You know, is this positive for Rocket League? Is this helpful? Does that help them in terms of like having systems like this implemented in games? Does that make it a bit easier to be a gamer parent? You know, parenting a potential gamer. You know, like there's a lot of questions to be asked there. I think it might be pretty good.
I think it will definitely help Rocket League specifically with parents who might not necessarily know as much about video games.
For sure.
Or if there's more games like this that are just doing this stuff naturally, because then it can reassure parents that are like, don't know as much, but they know like, oh, you're not going to get some vile, you know, disgusting human beings saying some terrible things. Okay.
Right.
Because they're tired of their job, but you know, their best way to, you know, get rid of it is to say everything online to probably 11-year-olds, you know, they're playing against, and they're like, wow, look at humanity. And we want to keep them positive, all right? We don't need to
increase the amount of naysayers. There's already enough of those. Gaming's not a thing. You're such a boomer.
There you go. Yeah, we don't need them replying with boomer either, I guess. But with that, I guess actually I'll finish the show with a funny thought. I actually saw two people, you know, just to relate to my own life right now, playing a certain game on their phones in class in middle school here. What do you think the game was?
It's either Sideswipe or Hearthstone.
It was Sideswipe.
I knew it. Yeah.
Which I thought was kind of fun. But it's 100%. I think that is the age, like, you know, like teenagers, like younger teenagers. I think that's... I played all of the, like, you know, mobile games then as well. So I think it's probably the target demographic. I know someone was saying in the Discord, like, what happened to the Sideswipe? Well, it's like, well, people who play Rocket League normally would just prefer to play Rocket League normally.
Because it's better.
is better. And people who have time to play on their phone are probably not adults, you know? Like,
more than likely. Or they are adults, but the time to play is so minimal. Sideswipe would actually be perfect, you know? Because it's like two-minute games instead of five.
I think the point is like, you enjoy... like, if you're already sitting down to play a video game, you might as well do something that you, like, more fully enjoy, right? And so I think it's still a fun game. I think it's actually a well-designed game. Thank you, Dave, for...
Yay, Dave! Woo!
Creating the idea of Sprocket League, which this is all came from. 100%. You cannot... I'm like, who's going to fight me on this? You know what I mean? How are you going to fight me that this was not... like,
anyone who doesn't know the history of ASAP and how awesome Dave is in the program he be, and also Tank Quest.
Yeah, look at Tank Quest on Steam if you want to help Dave out. But he might even have some like specials going on now. But yeah.
Ooh, fancy.
For those who don't know, Tank Quest is like a cooler version of like the Wii tank game, if you ever played that. But Dave made it cooler. Okay.
Because Dave is cool, man.
Dave is cool. Dave is, and then Dave also makes Sprocket League. I just like love how like Dave would like post stuff. Like every time he posts something, 2K Reddit posts. I'm like, Dave, you're on another level, my dude. But because he actually had things to offer, maybe that was it. Okay,
maybe you found your social media manager. I'm just saying.
Oh no, no, I don't want to bother Dave with things that are beneath. I'm not saying being a social media manager is beneath him. I'm just saying Dave's doing some great things with his life, so I want him to get.
Aw, go Dave! Happy for you. I miss you.
Yeah, I think we'll end it here. Maybe you know what? Maybe. Let's give you the option here, Cursor. What's your? Actually, no. Wait. This is easy. Okay, your homework, should you choose to accept it, is to look up Tank Quest. All right, and just take a look at it, and then maybe yeah. Get it. There you
yeah.
go.
Yeah, I like it's that. Like you beat me to the punch.
Well, I think you like you didn't tell me, but like you like mind messaged me through the air of yep. like. Because I was thinking one thing, and then you like it hit me. I'm like, no.
Something about the holidays or whatever, but like, no, yeah, yeah, yeah. no. Just there look up go. Tank Quest. Do yourselves a flavor. It's awesome. You'll check it out.
yes. It'll be quite tasty.
Alrighty then.
Rewind it back if you want to get that joke. that was an in and an in. Okay, what I will say. Hopefully goes out from the bottom. Oh my goodness, I'm so good at this.
Oh my goodness.
Yes.
Somebody stop this man.
I'm very happy with what I just did there, but it'll take someone a full, you know, university essay to answer it, to figure out what I did there.
Oh my.
I know what I did there. I will explain it at some point. Maybe ask me during the anniversary, the 4-year anniversary stream. I'll answer what happened here.
There you go.
Anyway, have a good one. I'll see you guys next time. Thank you, Cursor, for being on. We'll have that special coming out. After that, I'm sure we'll do like a year in review stuff. So it's all coming forward. And you know, I'm slowly starting the planning, starting to figure out what we're going to do, how the kind of year is going to look like for our community and stuff. So I'm trying to get on top of that, slowly as well. So hopefully a little, you know, there'll be big things. And, thank you. Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
Wish you all well. Goodbye.
Bye.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.